Something that I always read with a great deal of pleasure and food for thought, the columns that Kaya Sitole writes in the various places where those columns are published, independent analyst and columnist. And there's been a conversation for the last while following an interview, I think it was with News 24, Business Day, it doesn't really matter, with Dondo Mogojani, the Director General of the Treasury, who said, we're going to have to pay for the vaccines. Of course, we're going to have to find the money. And we're looking at three ways, reprioritizing expenditure, increasing our borrowing, and extra taxation. And a lot of the public and commentariat reaction has focused on the increasing taxation. But there was something that Kaya wrote today which made me go, yes, spot on. And that, Kaya, good afternoon, was your comment that it's utterly bizarre that at this point, we don't know how we're going to pay for the vaccines that we have known for months that we would have to buy sometime.
Yeah, John, and I suppose this was a follow-up on an article I did last week for the Mail and Guardian, and in that I'd highlighted that, you know, their best intentions are notwithstanding. By this time, well, maybe by the middle of last year when vaccines were in the pipeline, poor countries like South Africa probably didn't know which one to back because you really didn't know which one was going to succeed. And of course, rather than engaging in a process of hedging their bets and speaking to all the promising trials, South Africa seems to have taken the view of not speaking to anyone at all. That, of course, pales in comparison to the question of, well, it doesn't matter who you eventually dissatisfied from, you still needed to have a budget. So whether you thought it was going to be vaccine one or vaccine two, you still needed to put the money. So what we've seen is that the government firstly didn't know who to talk to, so they didn't talk to anyone at all. But the part that puzzles me the most is that in spite of the fact that they knew they were going to have to pay something eventually, they don't seem to have actually undertaken the process of saying, well, should the answer be A, then this is what we'll do. Should the answer be Y, then this is what you're going to do immediately. And I think it's just completely objectionable that right now we're standing at the end of January, other countries are already running mass vaccination programs, and nobody can answer the question of where we're going to get the money from.
And at the very least, there should have been something about it in the medium-term budget framework of nearly 3 months ago now.
Yeah. I mean, that for me is the part that also just doesn't make sense, because you'd have thought even at that particular point in time, there should have been an awareness from the state that, well, the only way that this can be resolved is if it happens organically, which means that it's going to take an entire year of people living under lockdown, which means you're going to have to make budgetary considerations to support them through social problems.
Kaya, are you still there?
Through a medical solution, which means it has to be funded. So it is just impossible to understand why even in the October medium-term budget, not much attention was paid to the question of how the vaccine rollout was going to be funded. And here we are finding ourselves stuck.
Stuck we are. So how do we unstick ourselves? What of the three options which government has put on the table and perhaps other options which Dondo Mogojani didn't mention, what are the optimal ways for us to unstick ourselves?
The other important thing to highlight is that, you know, sometimes what the politicians and the bureaucrats do is that they simply just test the waters. So they're going to come and put in an interview that these are the things that we're considering, just for them to be able to sort of see what the reaction might be. So I'm not particularly sure that this is actually the final version that's going to be put to the state. But if it turns out that these are the three options, the first one, talking about raising taxes, is completely ill-conceived, because whichever tax you decide to raise, the one thing about taxes is that they do not translate to an inflow tomorrow immediately of whatever money you've decided to increase the taxes by. So if they say, for example, that personal income taxes must increase by 5%, well, those personal income taxes are only due at the end of November, which is when the tax filing season starts happening. If you decide to go for corporate income taxes, those are dependent on corporates actually saying, our financial year has ended, we've made a profit, and this is the new tax. So none of the tax solutions are actually going to address the immediate challenge, which is we have to be able to fund the 1 million dosages that are due to come in the end of next week, the 500,000 that follow thereafter, and the 20 million that follow thereafter. So a tax solution is completely ill-conceived in the States. It just won't get us there, simply because of the emergency nature of the situation. And I think, obviously, the other alternatives, borrowing is always going to be where the government gravitates to, particularly because that allows you to get access to the finances immediately. The problem, of course, is that we spent 10 years junking ourselves into junk status, which means that the cost of borrowing is even much higher today.
Yeah, I mean, some of the 10 million from COVAX have been sort of paid for. I mean, I don't know how much the deposit that the Solidarity Fund paid over, what percentage that is of what the total cost of those vaccines is expected to be. And I don't know what the agreement is as to whether that is going to be paid back by government to the Solidarity Fund or whether that is a gift from the people who have donated money to the Solidarity Fund. So, you know, the 1.5 million that are coming, that is... that's northwards of R250 million, if my rough maths is correct, and that's money which I presume has to be paid up front, otherwise the Serum Institute doesn't send them. I heard somebody from the Department of Health saying earlier today that they expect the first vaccines to come on the 29th of January.
Yeah. You know, the difficulties with this entire rollout program is that the information is so fragmented because, for example, the 1.5 million that you're talking about now have been earmarked for healthcare workers. And the anecdotal evidence is that all the healthcare workers are already covered by the government employees' medical scheme because every single health worker is part of some permanent employment contract, whether they're in the private sector or indeed in the public sector, which means that it's actually coming at zero cost to the state because all medical aides have agreed that this is some minimum benefit, so therefore we are paying for it. The problem, though, John, is that at this stage, it's only the government that has the license or at least the right to transact or to even speak to the Serum Institute, for example. So you've got this extraordinary situation where the government, being the only ones that have the right to talk to these manufacturers, are the ones that do not have the funds. And the medical aides in the private sector that actually has the funding that have already earmarked for their members have the money, but they do not have the right or the permission to speak to these particular manufacturers. So for me, there's also this backlog that's going to emerge where suddenly somebody says, well, here are the 1 million vaccines, but where's the money? And we do not believe, or at least there is no conduit at this stage for the private sector, the medical aid, to then take that money, channel it through the state, and then acquire those 1.5 million vaccines. And all of these things should have been resolved by now because the state should have then put together some emergency mechanism that says, okay, fine, in relation to you buying on behalf of your members, because you do not have a direct contract or direct interaction with the Serum Institute, for example, here's where the money must go to so that we can facilitate the payment. At this stage, absolutely nobody knows how we're going to make this happen.
And, of course, the medical aides are cash flush at the moment, as has been reported widely over the last couple of days, because they had to pay out so little in terms of the normal medical expenses that they would be paying for in a year where people were going to the doctor and the pharmacist and having operations that weren't really necessary, but they wanted to have them, because they're not paying for that. They are sitting on reserves that are, that are better than ever historically.
Yeah, I think they're all at record solvency rates because, as you rightly said, over the past year, all the discretionary treatments and even the flu that you and I would occasionally get from interacting with other people, all those costs have been saved. So the medical aides are actually in a position to then say we're going to fund this particular rollout. But I think the state's obsession with controlling everything centrally, even when the mechanics do not seem to be enabling that, is probably going to be the new bottleneck. And I do think that we are going to face that crisis when suddenly the question of payment comes in. The Solidarity Fund, obviously, was a voluntary contribution made by different people. And even in that case, remember what they've done is that they put the money into the COVID facility. And the fundamental limitation of the COVID facility is that it's committed to an equitable distribution process. So just because South Africa has asked for 10 vaccines for tomorrow doesn't mean they're going to get 10, particularly if 10 other countries ask, and then the COVID will say, well, we all know you're entitled to 10, but today we only have 5, so therefore you're only going to get half of what you have. So the COVAX facility, probably not the place where we should be placing our faith, simply because of how it has decided to approach the question of equitable distribution. We have to rely on direct access, and unfortunately for now, direct access is being facilitated by the one institution that has no money at all.
The issue of whether individual companies and individual provinces, the Western Cape wants to procure its own vaccines, whether that should be allowed or not is another debating point. It's a conversation that I had with Martin Kingston of Business for South Africa, and it was his view, it was his public view. He and Business for South Africa might have a slightly different view, which they are pushing in private engagements with the government, but it was his view that it made sense for government to be the central and solo procurement agency, because it made it simpler and it potentially made it cheaper because there would be no competition. And, oh, I've got 12 people who want vaccines. Let me see what price I can get away with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's merit to the question of having a single point of interaction and a single point of negotiation. But I would differ with him in the case that I think the government should champion the negotiation, ink the contracts together to say for as long as the end user is a South African, then this is the price that we've agreed to. And then say that once that agreement has been reached, then whoever is a South African entity, whether it's a South African medical aid or the Solidarity Fund, for example, whoever approaches you and say, we are coming here on the back of the agreement that you've signed with the South African government, here's the money, please give us the vaccine. That will unlock the deadlock, the bottleneck. So I do not agree with the fact that you must let the government run the entire process, particularly when the government comes out and keeps saying that they don't have the money, because imagine this extraordinary situation where somebody comes tomorrow and says, here are 10 million vaccines that we haven't been able to use in Israel, for example, where they've already run out this massive vaccination program. Do you want to take them? Only for the government to say, wait, let's try and raise the money, and then having to drag that through the parliamentary processes, it's becoming a bill that becomes debated by members in the absence of transparency. It's just going to be completely...
You are depressing me, Mr. Sithole.
Sorry, but that unfortunately is how I see it.
Thank you very much for sharing it with us, Kaya Sithole, independent analyst and columnist.